Down? Okay. Oh, I was going to have you just do me a favor. Just stand for a second, because we've been sitting for a while. Okay, so just stand for if you can. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so take your hands and just what we're going to do is just go slow, medium, fast, and then stop. I do this when I go to classrooms and the kids need a little bit of a break. So just take your hands for a slow. Okay, then we're going to go medium and then fast and very fast and then all of a sudden stop. So medium. Okay. Now this is the fast and then comes the blurry fast. So fast, blurry, fast, and stop. Ah, please have a seat. Thank you. Ah, that helps me out. Powerful song for goodness of God. There's a video on the making of that. It is phenomenal. That will be for another time. I'd like that to be a whole teaching on what happened that day that they did that filming. Phenomenal. So, stop over there though. First of all, Bob Genie, thank you for making this available. Somebody asked me what this was going to be like today. Actually, it was our grandson. He says, so Opie, what's this going to be like? I said, well, it'll be kind of like if you had popcorn with salt and extra butter, you'd be all set. So in terms of how we're going to present things, so stay with me. There's basically going to be 3 points, but 3 very powerful points indeed. So originally, when Bob asked me last week, he said, hey, can you teach next Sunday? Sure. And I developed the teaching on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and all of a sudden, the teaching evaporated. Not from me, I've got it. The teaching was called Two Ships in a Keyhole. Well, very true stories. Two ships in this keyhole, but all of a sudden, God just was working. I said, though, can't we change it without me having already done all the work? But so what you're hearing is a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And why did I come up with that? I'm just convinced that the people that come into our lives, they're either there for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Winsome, 38 years. Rebecca waited 38 years to be able to hug this woman. And there we are in Chicago in the middle of the night, and next morning, I see them walking toward each other. She's their African-American, just stately figure of a lady, tall, just phenomenal, French accent. There she is walking down the street. Rebecca sees her. She sees Rebecca. I'm over there like, I'm just watching this. Where's my popcorn? And they hugged. It's a good thing I wasn't there because I would have been squished in the hug. But they hugged and they hugged and they cried. So it was so neat seeing that and being part of that. So our theme verse, if we could just a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Winsomes in our lives for a lifetime. Other people, so whenever we get to that, our theme verse, because I've got that here, our theme verse. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works. Now unto him. He's able. He's ready. He's there. Exceedingly abundantly. I mean, how much bigger can you get than any of that? And God makes that promise each and every day because prayer is our finest communication. I say communication because it's not just us. Hey, God, like I was telling him, hey, God, look, I already did this, so can I just do this one and then later do another one? But God answers back. Maybe not, hello, Dan, take a left turn. Maybe not like that, but he does answer back. So, that's our theme verse. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. There's going to be 3 instances that I'm sharing about a trip that we just had. Just 3. Every day things happen. But I build each one 3 different things, but that's it, just 3. And you know how fireworks have a finale at the end? There'll be a finale, not fireworks, but there'll be a finale at the end in terms of sharing. So we've got that, we've got a season, we've got a reason, or a lifetime. So, Paul Harvey, many of you in here remember the rest of the story with Paul Harvey. He was a radio announcer. I loved hearing the rest of the story. He talked about John. John was a sweet little boy. John used to love to read books. John grew up reading books about the history of this country. John really liked it. And John grew up to be John Fitzgerald Kennedy, the 35th president of the United States of America. You get that at the very end. Ronnie was good at riding horses. Ronnie would ride horses, and he loved movies. He always loved movies. He loved riding horses. And he grew up to be Ronald Reagan, the 40th president of the United States. Paul Harvey would do that with character after character. You wouldn't find out about them until the end. At the end, you found out about them. I loved it. The rest of the story. Well, you're not going to get the rest of the story of our trip because you weren't with us. But I'm going to try to paint a picture, just like in that video with the goodness of God. They paint a picture. If you see the beginning of what happened in the filming of that, powerful. You got the result. You never saw what happened behind the scenes. I'll give you a little hint. The piano that's in there, it's a fake piano. It's not real. It's cardboard that was put together. And yet, look at the goodness of God and why it happened, why they did what they did. It's beautiful. That's a whole teaching in itself. Okay, Paul Harvey. Now, as we went around the country, and a lot of different things happened in a lot of different places, Winsome is going to be a key factor in this first case. Chicago, we're in Chicago. A lot of stuff happened in Chicago. A restaurant was recommended by a hotel. Several people recommended it. So we go to this restaurant. It's a swanky, reeks of old money, a bar that's being polished by a bartender. Servers that work there that maybe only have 3 or 4 tables because they want their clients, their customers, to get the very best. We end up going to this restaurant, and our server, Mario, walks us to our table. And then throughout the evening, Mario, he only had a few tables. Each server, only you pay a lot more for the food, but it was worth it in terms of where we're at, and you'll find out why. Again, 3 stories, 3 situations. This is the restaurant. And the server, Mario. Well, Mario would share little things, but again, for these people, hopefully you remember Dragnet back in the 50s. And by the way, it was based on true crime situations in L.A. But it'd be Sergeant Friday would speak to you and said, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. And he'd take his notebook out and say, just the facts, give me just the facts. He never smiled. Mario never smiled. But was he professional? Great. Was he cool? Great. Was he poised? Great. This was Mario. Mario knew his trade very well. My trade for that night was talking, and I know that very well. So, here we are with Mario, and I could just tell something had to happen. And even if it wasn't going to happen, I'd squeeze it until something did happen. So Mario, all night long, and at one point, he's fit. You can tell he works out. He's sharp. He's professional. He works with all kinds of people. And he's sharing different things. He comes back and stays a little longer. Then he shares something. He stays a little longer. So I started asking him questions. And at one point, apparently, he had been 75 pounds overweight. At one point, his liver was so destroyed in certain organs in his body from drinking that it was taking his life. So when he came back the next round, something hit my head. You talk about God communicating, you talk about prayer, something hit my head. So I turned to him. And Rebecca was wondering, oh my God, what is he going to say now? So I cleared my throat and I said, Mario, I said, it sounds like you were on a mission to not be here anymore. He looked at me, he took his glasses off. He said, you know, he got closer. He said, you know more about me than any of my regulars who come in here all the time. And I said to him, I'm going to give you a paper, a note. And basically it was something, for those people that can't see, I'm holding up a little candle thing I made that brings in light with a little heart. And I told him there's a little note that goes, and I told him to take that home. Don't read it here. I said, take it home. And the ending of the note, just the ending of the note, says these words. The most important thing in this world is to be prepared for the next. Are you prepared? The key is Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the light. That's what I gave to him. I told him to take it home and read it. Next day, we're coming back. We see the restaurant. Winsome and Rebecca are meeting in the street like this, and they hug and they kiss, and we get ready to go to the restaurant. I'm starting to tell Winsome about Mario. Well, Mario was there last night. This is morning. Mario's not going to be there again. Because, you know, you don't work the morning shift, the night shift. We go in. Who takes us to our seat? Mario. Mario. So what does Mario do? He said, I read the note. That note. So we're sitting, and I told him, basically he had been an alcoholic. And I told Winsome, Rebecca got the hug. I get to walk. I told Winsome what was happening. We get to this restaurant. We sit down. Again, she's tall. She's on the inside part of the booth. And she's asking him a question about life. And all of a sudden, he takes his tie, he moves it over, he takes his chain, he picks it up, and I'm wondering, what is he going to do? He picks it up, it's a cross. And he turned to us. By the way, he had never smiled the whole time. Just the facts, ma'am, just the facts, just the facts, just the facts. That's what he did. But all of a sudden, he pulls it out, it's the cross, and he said, I am a brother. Winsome, who's on the inside, sort of like tall, like Bob, she stands up, takes his hand, boom, like a fist slap. I thought I should get a bowl and have two hands fall in the bowl. And he smiled and smiled and smiled. That was Mario. When we left with hugs and smiles. A reason, a season, a lifetime. That was Mario. We'll probably never see him again, but he's got that note. He's got that picture. He's got the memory of what we did. That was Mario. I'm a brother, with a big smile. Okay, leave Chicago. Now go to this small, sleepy town outside of Buffalo, New York. Rolling hills, lakes, rivers, streams. The place I grew up. There's a hotel there, a motel there. And I'm painting a picture like Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. Picture you go into this motel. And there's the manager, Linda. There's this new lady, girl, working. She's in charge of housekeeping. So you've got the manager, you've got this lady in charge of girl in charge of housekeeping, and off in the corner is this grizzled old man sitting in like a wheelchair, white hair, Vietnam vet hat on, things pulled down. I see him over there. So that's the scene when you go in. You've got the manager, Linda. You've got Mary, who's in charge of housekeeping. You've got this grizzled old guy sitting in the corner with a Viet vet hat on and just sitting there, not doing anything, in a wheelchair. Well, we say hello to Linda, and we start talking. Linda's the manager. The girl who's in charge of housekeeping, she's listening to us. She jumps, she's sitting like on the counter. She jumps off and says to her manager, oh my gosh, Linda. She said, Linda, these two, referring to myself and my wife. She said, these two, and she's got a little southern accent to her. She said, Miss Linda, these two standing here. She says, oh, she said, I love them. I love them so much. I want to take them and put them in my trunk and take them home. Miss Linda was drinking coffee. All of a sudden, she spits the coffee out the computer board I thought was going to go blank, and her eyes open big, and the girl's serious in terms of her head and heart. That's Mary. Okay, and you see the grizzled old guy, Marshall, kind of nodding his head back there like that. Okay, that's day one. Day two, all of a sudden, Jekyll and Hyde, all of a sudden, whoa, I see Mary. Mary's not the same Mary as yesterday. What happened? Down in the face, trodden, boom. And I said, well, let's go get some towels for the room. So I walked down with her to the back of the hotel, a long walk down. We get towels. We're coming back. And I said, something's not right. I can tell something's happening with you. All of a sudden, she just breaks down and starts crying. But we're right at our hotel door. So what do? The kindest thing I could do, I knock on the door. And Rebecca said, yes. I go, hi, Rebecca. I open the door. Mary comes in, tears in her eyes, sits on the bed. For the next 45 minutes, Rebecca is talking with her. I leave, because I did my part. I go out front. There's the same grizzled guy. And there's Linda, who informs me that her daughter is having some issues with transsexual, with do I be this, do I be that. And I start talking to her, and I said, look, Linda, yes, your daughter's thinking things. And she said, hey, I want her to be happy, so whatever she wants. Was she born a daughter or born a son? Well, born a daughter. I said, yes, you can chop things off and do things that, but you can't change what's on the inside. You're either XX, girl, XX, XY, boy. God made two, male, female. That was it. I'm telling her that. And I said, yes, your daughter's going to make her decisions, but you hold the keys. You hold the keys to guide her. You hold the keys to direct her. Yes, it's her life. And then I told her about this 17-year-old girl that we had been meeting with as part of a focus group who had some difficulties, 17, had some difficulties, and ended up getting a full mastectomy, both breasts removed. And she's now speaking out on Zoom meetings. And that's where we met her. And she said, look, I'll never be able to hold the baby and have the baby suckle in terms of feeding the baby. Sure, I can get fake ones put on. And I'm telling Linda, I said, here's what this 17-year-old girl told us, Linda. Miss Linda, please listen. By the way, nobody interrupted. 45 minutes. Nothing. No phone calls, no people coming in. I said, Linda, I said, there's your daughter. I said, yes, she can make the decisions that she wants to make, but you can help guide her. This 17-year-old girl, I said, you want to know what the last words that she said? She said she got that done because the doctor, in terms of her breast being removed, because the doctor said, hey, yes, we can take care of this. And what they called it was not a mastectomy, not a double mastectomy, but they called it blemish removal. Blemish removal. That's what they called it. I said, Linda, you're in charge. Your daughter's a teenager. She's not even 21, not 18. Yes, she's going to do it, but you have the ability to give her information, to help her with the decision. Blemish removal. The 17-year-old said, I can never come back to where I was, but she can speak out and give us what she gave us. And we took what she gave us, and I gave it to Miss Linda. What was Rebecca doing? Sleeping? No. Rebecca was in the room with Miss Mary. And here, you talk about take a banana and peel it down? In the time that she was there, Mary ends up being 23 years old. She has a special needs son who's 4 years old. And anybody who works with special needs, there's a lot of work involved. And she was down because she has cancer. And she's dealing with chemotherapy. And when I saw her after the 45 minutes, it was like a makeover, her makeup, Rebecca and her step out of the room. And now she was smiling, and the teardrops were gone. So, oh, Marshall, poor Marshall. Okay, can't leave Marshall out. Marshall's sitting there. I go up to him. You can't see his face, everything, but both legs are missing. He's got wooden legs there. I say wooden because this is old. You can tell it wasn't recent. And a lot of things happened with him. But he said to me, he grabbed my shirt. He said, to walk again. I said, what's one thing you'd want? He grabbed, to walk again. The next day we're leaving. I see him. I gave him that piece of paper. I said, read it at home. Don't read. And he's there staying at that place right now because they're going to try to do surgery to correct what happened that was wrong because the legs won't fit and they fall off when he walks. So I went up to him the day we're leaving. I grabbed his shirt. Yeah, I yanked myself to him nicely. I was very nice. His hat didn't fall off. See why I said you're going to have popcorn today? All right. His hat didn't fall off. But I said, Marshall, God wants you to walk with him. And he wants himself to walk with you. So trust him. Take his hand. Whatever I'm going to do, you pray for the doctors. And he looked up for the first time ever that I saw his face, and he smiled. He didn't say much. I did. He didn't. But that was fine. That was him. Okay, last day. Here we are. We got Linda, click, with the daughter who's looking at things. We got Mary, who Rebecca's been working with. We got Marshall sitting in the corner. Oh, and by the way, we have two police officers. They're not there for me. I mean, they're there for something, but they're all there. So how do we end this part with that? Mary... I go to give Mary. I'm holding up a picture. This is a picture of Jesus Christ. Whether I was a believer or not believer, yeah, that's a picture of Jesus Christ. Here's the one that I took with me. It's all folded. I would take it. This was what I used on the trip. This one I kept in reserve. And I had shared this. And so I had that picture. I'm coming up to give Mary a little picture, a little one for her wallet. Same thing. In the picture, by the way, okay, here's what happens. I go up her phone. She takes out the picture. I had already given, talking to so many people, I'd forgotten that I'd given it to her. And what does she do? She goes, let me do it, let me do it. This is the one who jumped off the thing, who said, I want to take them in the trunk of my car. I've got, and then cancer and everything else, special needs child, 23 years old. She says, wait, you gave me one. And here's what she's telling everybody there, including the two police officers. Okay, so keep that in mind. And again, no interruptions. Okay, so she says, look. She says, oh, she says, look, this is Jesus, and Jesus is there, and Jesus is knocking at the door. She said, but it says in the Bible, I had told her this before. She said, oh, it says in the Bible that Jesus is knocking. Is he knocking the door? Yeah. Is there a light on? Yes, there's a light on. Is somebody home? Yeah, because the light's on. So knock, knock, knock. And she says, yeah, it says in the Bible that if I will knock, if you will hear and open. Hear and open. Two things. You've got to hear first. So she's telling the people there what I just said, because I shared it with her. And she says, yeah, see, Jesus, he's knocking. She says, but there's something funny about the picture. There's something that nobody would know. And this is what I told her. She's telling everybody there, including the two police officers who are kind of moving a little bit closer. They're not moving away, they're moving closer. Okay, so she said, oh, she said, but the thing is, the thing that makes this picture a very famous picture, there is no doorknob. Jesus Christ cannot open the door. He can pound till all heck breaks loose. Knock, 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 knock. He cannot open the door. Only you can open the door. He's knocking. Two things. She said, two things. You got to listen, you got to hear, and open. If you don't open the door, he's not going to come in. Mario, the thing over there, decision in your life. Mario over there says, are you prepared? The most important thing in this world is to be prepared for the next world. Are you prepared? The key is Christ. That's all happening. Mary says that. Mary tells them all about it. That's why we got to be the ones to open the door. And I start clapping, and the cops start clapping for Mary. We hug them goodbye, and we leave and go to the next part of our trip. You've already gotten two parts of Paul Harvey. You got the first one with Mario, second one with Linda, Mary, the trans information daughter, and Marshall, who wishes for his legs. All right, let's go to the last part of our trip. I mean, every day something happened. Good gosh. Hey, just one quick note. Don't do this. Don't go too far. Okay, just one thought. One lady, North Carolina, Virginia, someplace, we were having breakfast with her. Somehow we get people invited into where we're at, which, you know, she works at a rehab, works for an old folks home, place like that. She said, you know, she said, a lot of people drop people off, and then they don't come back. And the people die, and they don't even come to claim the body. And so we're sitting, and I'm saying, hey, you are the light for that person who's there while they're alive. And that, we'll never see that lady again. That just popped into my head because it was there. Okay. We're going to the last part of our trip. And let me set, like Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. A prison in Virginia. We met this prisoner. We were both involved with this prisoner. Let me set it up this way. I think he has a prison term of 45 years. It's a long term. Difficult situations. And we visited him last year for the very first time. And then this year, by the way, visiting him at a maximum security prison, you go. There's the guard, female guard, male guard, the dog. You're standing there with a group of people. You feel like you're in Nazi Germany back in World War II. The dog's sniffing. Rebecca's standing there, arms out like this. The dog's sniffing. The dog really liked Rebecca. And but there's a sign, no talking, no spitting, no boom. Me, well, no talking. Oh, so here's this female guard. And this female, she had my thigh, couldn't equal her arm. I mean, she looks like she could take a telephone pole and crunch it like a toothpick. So I'm thinking that. And there they are. They're standing there. And, you know, no this, no that. I turned to her. I said, ma'am, to the lady, I said, if I was on a New York City subway, I'd want to have you with me. Well, the male guard starts laughing. She starts laughing. I said, I feel safe with you. And then to the male guard, I said, boy, I hope you fed that dog this morning, because that dog really likes my wife. And they start, so this was at the maximum security prison where you don't say anything, you don't do anything, and they did let us in, because I think they looked at Rebecca and said, well, she looks normal. She's with that guy. So they did let us in. So this year we come, and Rebecca, I'm going to be very careful on this one, because Rebecca, she's so sweet, so they go and they do stuff, but Rebecca, she doesn't break it, but so they take her to a special room. They take me to a special room, because you do the, again, maximum security places. So they, for me, they check the belt, they check inside the belt, they check inside the pants. They're very careful of how they do this. And with Rebecca, they took her to a female guard, took her, and somehow they had to make sure there was nothing up, you know, in the breast area. So apparently they're trying to get her to show you what you have, just this body state, nothing else falls out. So, and they were so sweet in terms of how they were handling it, because Rebecca finally said, okay, you're cleared. And just to get them cleared. But this new place is a minimum security care. So it was just so much nicer in one sense. And we get in, and we're dealing with this prisoner, who, like I said, has a 45-year term. And before we got home, he wrote us a letter. His name's Ricardo, and we've been dealing with him. So what's going to happen is two things. I'm going to just read a part of his letter, and we're going to see a video called Mercy Me at the group, Dear Young Me. And I'm going to paraphrase some things in this letter. I'm going to end with the last part of this letter. And then a reason, a season, a lifetime. Okay, Dan and Rebecca, thanks for visiting. It was a great pleasure. I'm so glad that you were able to experience, even just for a moment, the experience I get every day to be in this place. You're right, yes, wow. Because the last place, was heavy, a lot of different situations. I'm so thankful for this place. Dan, I've got a song for you. During our visit, there was a discussion about if we could go back and change things in the past. So I'm taking chunks out of here. So just put this all into a puzzle in terms of this guy's mind. He hasn't had a visitor in 10 years. We've been the only visitor at this point in terms of coming to see him. Lots of different things that happened. He said, hey, he heard this song, Mercy Me. He said, it was meant for me to hear that song, and if I played it enough that the words were able to penetrate my busy mind. Yeah, what's in his mind, what's in our minds. There's so much in life. So often we think if we could go back, what will we change? There's so much in life. Yes, some days I wish I could relive it. Who would I be today? All the things that I've lived have made me who I am. Maybe even to go as far as to say who I am in Christ. Whether we are walking our own path or walking in God's will, ultimately we are not out of God's eyes. Several years worth of communicating with this guy. The thing I've been through in my life, I believe God allowed to humble me, to bless me, to guide me. The memories of the horrible things I have done, I've not shared with anyone. And by the way, he did share some things. This man's heart. And that's why we need to go forward. Every one of us. Paul was responsible for murder. Paul lived with it. We need to live with it. Wait till you hear the ending of the letter after the song. We're not ready for the song yet. How much more do I appreciate and adore? He said, I can't even find the words to express the impression of God's love and grace has had on me. I think back and wonder, if there had only been someone that I could have related with, would I have shared my struggles and find help, or at least the comfort of not feeling so alone? I don't see myself writing a book, a great book. This is not for today. Powerful book that I've given to several ministers, At the Altar of Sexual Idolatry. Powerful. You take the word sex out, At the Altar of Idolatry. All of us, in terms of what we do, what we don't do. Powerful book. I wouldn't have known about this had we not been working with that prisoner. Yes, Ricardo. Okay. I see me having purpose in this life to help someone, even if it is just one person. Just one person. With everyone I meet, I try to show kindness and gentleness. I do my best to reflect as what God has done in my life. Some receive and some don't. In prison, there's a hierarchy. Even who you sit with. When we were doing Donovan Prison, Chris Martinez, one of the men that we worked with here, his last name is Martinez. He doesn't look Spanish. He doesn't speak Spanish. But by God, he had to sit with his last name was Martinez. And that the unwritten rules in prison. This guy here, Ricardo, one of the people in his jail cell was a very highly sophisticated gang member. And this gang member had done everything. And he's in the cell with this guy. This Cardo's not in there for gangs, drugs and other things, but not gangs and stuff. But we had been writing to Ricardo, and Ricardo was sharing our letters with the gang guy. In jail, that gang guy, he walks over here, you don't look at him, he doesn't look at you. Ricardo is not allowed to talk with him outside the cell. And the gang guy, to keep his prestige up, he doesn't look at him. He's like, you're filth, you're dirt, you're not worth it. But he had been receiving all the words of the letters that we wrote. Wait till you hear the ending of the letter. Okay, so, you know what? This phrase, when God's love meets sin, there is mercy. God's love and God's mercy gives us joy. Satan will rub our noses in it. Boy, every time you do something wrong, look what happens. He's like, look, you stupid person. Look what he, first of all, you get your kicks, but you can't get your kickbacks. And look what happens in terms of what we do in life. Satan rubs their noses in it, but I said, God will rub his forgiveness in us. These horrible memories that I wish I could change are what remind me of the multitude of God's love for me. Sitting here today, we're going to get ready for the song in a moment. Sitting here today, I know I should have been dead many times over. I have no clue what the future holds. I just know that it is God working in my life for this day that I have. The video is going to be called Mercy Me, the group. I'm going to just shout out a couple of the verses. Oh, you're going to see in here people writing signs. One of them says, show up. Success won't happen if you're not there. Oh, show up. Success isn't going to happen, or failure, if you're not there. So show up for either, and thank God for the one that we want. Show up. Mercy me. This song's called Dear Young Me. Trust in a higher power. The guy flips the sign over. We make plans. God plans outcomes. In the song, a couple of things. You are free indeed. Every mountain, by the way, because Ricardo said, this song is me. He said, it's just everything about me. So I got the lyrics. Rebecca got the lyrics. So what are the choices that you'll make? They're choices that made you. If I knew then what I know now, condemnation wouldn't have any power. It's not your fault. You were never meant to carry this beyond the cross. Christ already carried it for the cross. Okay, let's see if we can get the song up. Read quickly the pictures that are there. The song, Mercy Me, Dear Younger Me. And then we'll end the lesson.
Dear Younger Me, where do I start? If I could tell you everything that I have learned so far, then you could be one step ahead of all the painful memories still running through my head. I wonder how much different things would be, dear young me. Dear young me, I cannot decide. Do I give some speech about how to get the most out of your life? Or do I go deep and try to change the choices that you'll make? Cause they're the choices that made me. And even though I love this crazy life, sometimes I wish it was a smooth ride. Dear young me, dear young me, oh, if I knew then what I know now, condemnation would have had no power. My joy, my pain would have never meant my worth. If I knew what I know I would have not been hard to figure out what I would have changed if I had heard. It's not your fault. You never meant to carry this beyond the cross. Dear young Mary, you are holy, you are righteous, you are one of the redeemed, set apart a brand new heart. Oh, you are free indeed, and every mountain, every valley, each heartache you will see, every moment brings you closer to who you were meant to be, dear young Mary. You are holy, you are righteous, you are one of the redeemed, set apart a brand new heart. Oh, you are free indeed. You are holy, you are righteous, you are one of the redeemed, set apart a brand new heart. Oh, you are free indeed. You are holy, you are righteous, you are one of the redeemed.
All right. You get, thank you. I need that one back. Again, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Time after time after time. I'm going to read the end of the letter. I told you to expect like a finale from the fireworks. And this one's going to have Rebecca's name on it. But stay with me. Ah, these horrible memories I wish I could change are what remind me of the multitude of God. Sitting here today, I know I should have been dead many times over. I have no clue what the future holds. I just know that it is God working in my life. Yes, now. Next paragraph, he says, Rebecca. By the way, when we met him last year for the first time, he recognized Rebecca instantly. He said, oh, that's Rebecca. He looks at me and he goes, I thought you'd be taller. All the notes that I write him, and he's telling me that he thought I'd be taller. What does he say to Rebecca? I recognized you instantly. That's Rebecca's great heart. And he says, Rebecca, I just want to say, in the most respectful way, that you really warm my heart. How you remember the details of my life and you are able to read into my thoughts. That's because she loves God. Thank you. It has opened my heart to believe I'm thought of and cared about. Rebecca, you are God's heart in the flesh. I know God knows every detail of my life and cares enough to remember me in such a way. I know it is him who's speaking when he speaks. Rebecca, you are a reflection of God in the flesh. Ending. It's been a long road, you guys. I am sure that I haven't been the easiest case, but I'm sure glad that God placed the two of you in my life. I must say, it is hard for me to connect with people. Having a pen pal is, well, surely different. Pen pal. You wonder how to connect with someone through pen and paper. And even though I shared intimate parts of my life, there was a distance. You guys have, wait till you hear the last sentence. Shared intimate parts of my life, there was a distance. You guys have really touched my heart with your commitment and your dedication. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Maybe your efforts may seem fruitless, but I'm a hard case, and God has really used you guys to open many hearts, my heart included. Last sentence. May God bless you abundantly here and in the next life. Sincerely, Ricardo. There, a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Yes. Thank you. Oh, gee, I get two microphones. Oh, darn. They gave it to me and I took it away. Yes.
About Rebecca, of course, like without a doubt. But you know, I thought it was kind of funny when you got to the comment about when he met you, and he's like, "I thought you would be taller."
Yeah. Huh. Oh, I'm sorry. Stand on my toes. Would that help out?
No, it's like I think that's really a compliment.
Aww. You can say it again.
Because you live your faith large. You express yourself and you are equipped with God's word and his wisdom, and you apply it and you make a meaningful, lasting, large impact for his kingdom. So, of course, when he meets you for the first time, he's expecting a giant man of faith, which you are.
Wow.
But you're demure in stature, so.
Aw, bless your heart. Yes. Rebecca's saying, hey, pray. Yes. Yes. Heavenly Father, popcorn, butter, salt, you know what, ice cream, chicken soup for the soul. Father, you've made it all. You know it all. Before we ever even were, you knew that we would be who we'd be. We didn't, but you did. And you hold all the keys. You hold all the answers. Even if today would be our last day, Father, we know what's in eternity because you've told us. And you never lie. You never break your promise. You never drop us. You never break us. You're our God. And before there ever was time or space or matter, you wanted a family. And it's a gift, and you've given us this gift. All we have to do is receive it. Listen and open. Receive it. The gift is there. How precious it is, and how so many of us all over need to realize, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Such a powerful phrase that comes from the Word of God. He wants us to have that. God, thank you for guiding our hearts. And really, thank you for helping me to shelf the other teaching for now and to get this teaching today, because somebody needed to hear it. Blessed to hear you and just to be here alive today with every breath that we take. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.